Now we're going to ask Deacon Sullivan to help us to begin our service today with prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and grace and the weather that you brought, Father. As it turns cold, you've given us the ability to stay warm in this weather. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I like that ability to stay warm in this weather. I appreciate that. We won't be trained like the U.S. Army trained a bunch of young people, putting them in 57-degree water for 2 weeks till they get acclimatized to it. That wouldn't work for me at my age, no. But we can sing, starting with Some Trust in Chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving grace of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. God will uphold him. God will uphold him. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Yes, they are. And you can identify with that, whatever gender that you are. And of course, by the way, folks, there are only two genders. You know that. Male and female. God said so, and I believe it. Well, we'd like to welcome all those that are listening in, even by the internet. Every day, practically, we have people from all over the country that find our websites and then ask to be friends on Facebook and other such places. So all the broadcasts that we do, services that we do, end up going out across the country to various places with various people. So we like to welcome those new friends. This week alone, we had about 10 new friends, I believe it is. Well, a win for the cattle industry. Now, for those of you that are beef eaters, and I'm a beef eater, I'll admit it, I like to eat beef. I always have throughout my whole life. Not that I'm against chicken, lamb, or fish, and whatever, pork as well, but I have always principally been a beef eater. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced it has suspended its plan to force the use of electronic ID tags for cattle. The USDA said this shift in policy was in response to executive orders from President Trump. Yay, President Trump! That proves that the White House is hearing our protests. Now it's time to step up the pressure to demand action to put country of origin labeling on all meat products. I do not want to eat anything from China. Hello? And I need your help to do this. Let me explain. It's incredible, but the World Wildlife Fund, the WWF, that's not a wrestling federation, by the way, the world's most powerful and radical environmental organization, has managed to worm its way into control of the American beef industry. The WWF advocates that beef consumption is destroying the environment, and they're working tirelessly around the world to stop you and me from eating beef. The World Wildlife Fund has succeeded in taking over the American cattle industry. They've created the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. It comes from with an endless list of rules to control how cattlemen are to operate, and those rules increase costs and make it nearly impossible for small farmers to operate. And by the way, everybody knows I love the small farmer. That's why we started the Micro Farmers of New Hampshire back a while ago. Just mentioned that yesterday at a farmer's market in Wolfboro. They have succeeded in getting the National Cattlemen's Beef Association to endorse the roundtable's crazy rules. And the roundtable now controls the beef packing industry, which is in turn controls the entire beef retail market. Cattlemen either toe the WWF dictates or out of the industry. The roundtable plans come with a strict set of principles that are right out of Agenda 21. And everybody can join me in saying to Agenda 21, boo! We don't want you. Go back to the UN where you came from. Coming soon, meds and techniques to erase memories. Orwell's Torture Room 101. To adjust memories may be a thing of the past, as technocrat scientists are nearing a drug-related solution to help you erase your memories, whether good or bad. Is 2 plus 2 really 4, or is it 5? Sustainable fail, the global fertility crash. Now, we've been told, of course, by everyone that the population of the world is burgeoning beyond all limits and so forth and so on. Well, folks, that is not true. According to the UN and globalist propaganda, global populating is crashing, not exploding. The birth rate in many countries is so low that they will cease to exist as discrete nations. For many, the trend is already irreversible. Microsoft put Smart Cities Tech Hub in Syracuse, New York. Technocrats at Microsoft will promote application development for 5G, Internet of Things, and artificial intelligence in a quest to flood cities with smart city command and control systems. And by the way, I don't want smart controls in my home. Now, there's a whole lot of list of other things we could mention here, but one of them, a professor was fired over documenting increases in polar bear populations. See what happens when you tell the truth? You get fired, but tell the truth anyway. CBS, rising sea levels to destroy homes of over 300 million people by 2050. So those of you that own expensive real estate along the ocean, you're going to be underwater, according to what they're saying at the UN, by 2050, 300 million people all over the world. And before I read the rest of my quips and quotes for today, I want to read this that we extracted this week, Kathy and I, in our devotional time, and from a book that Kathy was reading. Before we get to where we want to be, we have to acknowledge where we are now. Good thinking requires good diagnosis. It requires a discussion of what is wrong, how we got here, and what blind spots and behavior are feeding the problem. We must get out the stethoscope before we start prescribing the treatment. But let's not confuse diagnosis with cure. That's true. Well, while I firmly believe all Americans should benefit from a safety net, not sure I agree with some people what that safety net should be, I also know that government handouts are never as powerful as a hand up. I've often said that when I'm trying to stop some things, we put up a hand to stop, but we're also offering a hand up to those people that need it. If we desire to insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. George Washington, 1793. Good advice then, good advice now. It behooves you, therefore, to think and act for yourself and your people. The great principles of right and wrong are legible to every reader. To pursue them requires not the aid of many counselors. Thomas Jefferson, 1775. As Charles Spurgeon said, the more you read the Bible and the more you meditate on it, the more you will be astonished by it. D.L. Moody once said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Mm-hmm. Why didn't somebody do something? That's a good question. I pray that after today we all realize that somebody needs to be us now. God uses individuals to change nations and the course of history. Some of those people God used in the Protestant Reformation, for example, included Martin Luther, John Calvin, William Tyndale, and John Knox. Americans have been warned for almost 100 years about the evil creeping into our republic. The vast majority have ignored the warnings for a variety of reasons, with the list growing over time. Apathy, blind loyalty to their political party, self-absorption, addiction to drugs, sports, pornography, sexual perversions, being sold as alternate lifestyles, a good economy, offerings from pretend land, which is Hollywood, by the way, those can't live without cell phones, iPhones, smartphones, while remaining in their false comfort zones. The House of Representatives, January 15, 1962, page 215. Representative Utt from California said, "Get us out of the UN." Many of you thought it was just the John Birch Society recently. No, Representative Utt from California in 1962 said, "Get us out of the UN." And we're still saying it today. Man once surrendering his reason, has no remaining guard against absurdities the most monstrous. And like a ship without a rudder, is the sport of every wind. With such persons, gullibility, which they call faith, takes the helm from the hand of reason, and the mind becomes a wreck. Thomas Jefferson, 1822. When Christians say the Bible is true, and that our faith is true, we don't mean it is true for us. We mean it's true. We don't mean it's true if you accept it. It's true whether you choose to accept or reject it. It's true because 2,000 years ago, the Lord of life really did walk on the soil of this land called Israel, rewriting history and eternity on behalf of his people everywhere. There are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power, than by violent and sudden usurpations. James Madison, 1788, and that is certainly coming through true now in 2019. It's always a delight to be around virtue. It's contagious. And that's why a lot of people don't want to be around people of virtue, because it's contagious and they don't want to be virtuous. In all very many numerous assemblies of whatever character composed, passion never fails to wrest the scepter from reason. James Madison, Federalist 55. Some physicians recognize the value of natural therapies and have embraced the best from both alternative and conventional medicine into what is known as complementary medicine. I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in opinion about the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. I didn't say that. Benjamin Franklin did. Well, folks, take your Bibles in hand, if you would, and we will turn to the 7th chapter of the prophet Micah, chapter 7 of Micah, 20 verses in that chapter, chapter 7. So we will begin on my left, with having four readers here today, with Mrs. Lear, and each of us will read 5 verses.
Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version. Woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned, there is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig that my soul desires. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil, to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them, a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, of your punishment, has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth, from her who lies in your arms. That was Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version.
Continuing from the English Standard Version, verses 6 through 10. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out of the light. I shall look upon his vindication. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will look upon her. Now she will be trampled down like the mire of the streets. That was Micah chapter 7, verses 6 through 10.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Micah chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. A day for the building of your walls, in that day the boundaries shall be far extended. In that day they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, and from Egypt to the river, from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. But the earth will be desolate because of its inhabitants, for the fruit of their deeds. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, who dwell alone in the forest, in the midst of a garden land. Let them graze in the Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things. This read from the New Standard Version, Micah chapter 7, verses 11 through 15.
Good. And I'm continuing on in Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse 16. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hands on their mouths. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like the crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their strongholds. They shall turn in dread to the Lord our God, and they shall be in fear of you. Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham. You have sworn to our fathers, as you have sworn to your fathers from the days of old. Praise God from the reading of his word. I've just read Micah chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. You may notice in this chapter of the minor prophet Micah, and once again, let me reiterate, just because somebody is called a minor prophet does not mean that what they're saying is minor at all. Just the same as you may not be a famous person like Billy Graham or John Knox or William Tyndale or all the people that I had mentioned in my quips and quotes, for example. But that doesn't mean that what you have to say is minor, especially when you're saying the things that the Bible says. Now, the situation, and I always am very pleased to report how relevant the scriptures are for the times that we live in. And I probably would have reported that if I happened to have lived in the 19th century, the 18th century, the 17th century, the 16th century, or any other century to say, you see, folks, how relevant the Word of God is to even our situation today? Why should that be a surprise? And of course, as we look in verse 2 of Micah 7, the godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. Now, that may seem like it's an error, because the godly have not perished from the earth, and there's not anyone upright among mankind. Just remember, that's the way it was seeming to Micah at the time, as he was having this view. And today, many people, myself included, with all that you see, not only all that we hear, I read this week that a prominent female broadcaster at Fox News decided to leave Fox and go to CBS. And everybody's shocked, because why would she leave? She was a great journalist and everyone liked her and she reported well and so forth. Why would she go to CBS? Because we know CBS is one of the kingpins of the faux news, the false news. And somebody said, well, let's just face it, she's sold out. CBS probably offered a whole lot of money to leave Fox, hoping that CBS can kind of bury Fox, but also bury her. They'll bring her in and pay her a lot of money and not even give her the opportunity to speak or cover things like that she would do, because CBS doesn't want the truth being told. And so sometimes the way that they do that is they'll buy you out and bury you. So you can see how I could look at the same thing going on today. If we go down to verse 4, the best of them is like a briar. The most upright of them, a thorn hedge. Well, think about that. And isn't it interesting that, of course, Jesus wore a crown of thorns? You look at that and say, there's no such thing as a crown of thorns. There's a crown of gold and gems. And there's a crown of whatever. And I've watched a variety of old movies from different countries of the world. And they all their leaders, their kings, their queens, they all wear crowns. I haven't seen a single one in any of those. And I've watched them from Poland, from Scandinavia, from Russia. Not a single one of them wears a crown made of thorns. Not a single one of them sleeps in a briar bush. And briars are stickers. See? But Jesus wore a crown of thorns. And so it's interesting that the day of your watchman, of your punishment has come. Now their confusion is at hand. And I kind of ask the question now, is that day come in the history of this world? The day of your watchman, of your punishment has come. Now, why would the watchman have a punishment? And think about who the watchmen in our society are. Not the people going around with a Detex clock in a factory or whatever else.
Politicians.
Could be politicians, yes. They're definitely watchmen. Some of our professors in schools, our pastors, they're watchmen. They're supposed to be watching over a flock. And of course, if you're a professor in a college, you've got a flock. I had one professor in college that I had, I don't know how many courses I had with him, from freshman through senior year. I had a multitude of courses. No, that's an exaggeration. I had at least a dozen courses with him. So he was a shepherd watching over a flock, and most of the students who were in those classes were in the same classes over the period of 4 years. So there are many different watchmen. And the days of your watchman, of your punishment, has come. And why would a watchman be punished? Because they're not doing the job they're supposed to do the way they're supposed to do it. We think about what's going on today in the government situation, the false charges against Donald Trump. Well, you know he's guilty. What do you mean, I know he's guilty? What is he guilty of? You know, crimes. What crimes? What crimes has he committed? Well, the crimes he's committed, he's guilty of them. Well, what are they? State them, because you know that in our country, there has to be a due process. This is not Soviet Russia. This is not the star chamber that, and actually they were running a star chamber because Adam Schiff has been running a star chamber, not even letting other legislators to come in. And so several of them had to burst open the door to get in there. They're holding secret meetings. So this is actually happening right now, just the way the Bible has described it. And of course, the impeachment process, they wouldn't even let the attorney for the president, who's Rudy Giuliani, to be in the meetings to hear what was being presented. They said, no, he can't come. That's not due process. That's Soviet-style interrogation and so forth and so on. That's what's happened here in America, that these people who call themselves Democrats, and many Republicans too, are nothing more than communist Marxists, socialists, and so forth and so on, and they're trying to have a coup to take over the government. One of my favorites representatives is Louis Gohmert from Texas. He was a federal judge, been a state legislator, now he's a congressman from there. He said, I don't want to say this, and I hope it doesn't happen, but they're pushing us towards civil war. And I don't want civil war in this country. Anyone that knows anything about the war between the states, the North and South, and of course, in a sense, the Revolutionary War was a civil war of sorts. Who wants that? And what do they think they're going to get out of it? But you see, that's what happens when people are not in their right frame of mind. And why are they not in their right frame of mind? Because, of course, and the statements of verse 5 and verse 6 in this chapter of Micah 7 tells us about situations that are going on. Okay? Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arm. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's pretty shocking. I'd have to say I have some experience in that department as well. But as for me, and of course, once again here, after you read this long line of all this stuff that people are doing that are wrong and so forth and so on, but for me. And I would like to say that we could put a heading on this chapter of calling it the sovereignty of God. Nothing you do or I do is going to disrupt the sovereignty of God. And no Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump or whoever you want to mention is going to interrupt the sovereignty of God. That's good news. Good news for me. And good news for you if you're like the verse 7. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, I find that tremendously comforting. My God will hear me. Now, if you cannot say that you believe that your God hears you, I have to ask, who is your God that doesn't hear you? And maybe he doesn't hear you because he's not really God. And he doesn't hear you because he's deaf. Or he doesn't hear you because he's dead. But our God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, he hears us because he's not dead. But he could turn his face from us. And he could not answer our voice and answer our prayers and cries because we're asking for the wrong thing, we're asking in the wrong way, or because we really don't put our trust in him. But interestingly enough, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. The Lord will be a light to me. I like to watch Christian videos, and particularly worship songs, and one of my favorite artists, Christian artists, has been Amy Grant. And I watched back quite a number of years ago, she was with Michael W. Smith, She was playing guitar, he was playing piano. And she sang the song, Thy Word, which I've sung myself many times, is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And as she was singing it, I couldn't help. I just was dropping tears that just were pouring out of my eyes because it's so true. And it's so biblical. And it's wonderful to hear people singing the scriptures. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and he executes judgment for me, he will bring me out to the light. And pay close attention to that in verse 9. He will bring me out to the light. If you're in a state of darkness and you're calling out to the Lord, he's going to bring you out to the light. Instead of saying, he brought the light into me, isn't it interesting how this is phrased? He brought me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. Maybe nobody can say in this day and age, if you're leading a virtuous life in Christ, that you don't have enemies. I could not say that. When I say, okay, I've got this many friends on Facebook, can I really trust them to be friends? Are they really friends? But one friend I do have, for sure, and I do trust my wife, and I believe she's my good friend, but Jesus is my friend, and I can trust him. All others can only be trusted, and as I've often said, you trust them as far as they can be trusted. Some people can be trusted a little bit. Be like saying, okay, some people can be trusted with $100, but they can't be trusted with $1,000. Some people can be trusted with a bicycle, but not with a motorcycle. Some people can be trusted with a little car that doesn't go very fast, but they can't be trusted with a race car. And there are some people you can trust them with basically anything. So that's one of the reasons why we usually encourage people to say, trust but verify. What does that mean? You know, there have been people, for example, who have trusted that their deck was built properly, even though they looked down and said, gee, it doesn't look like it's very stable, and the deck fell apart. Or they fell through the deck because it wasn't made properly. And there are lots of people out there doing that. That's why you like reputable builders or builders that will put up a bond. So if they do something wrong, you're indemnified. There's all kind of reasons why we have this in society. Now, would we have to have any of this if people were not sinners? If people were trustworthy all the time? No, we wouldn't. And I also want to give you as a sub-theme today in this Micah 7, where we're talking about the sovereignty of God, and we're also talking about waiting for the God of salvation, who is only Jesus Christ. I saw a picture, I don't know if it's fabricated or not, of the Pope kissing one of the head imams of Muslim imam on the lips. As if joining Muslim and Catholicism together. And of course, I know we have friends out there, the Catholics, they're probably going to bar me from this, but he had the Amazon Synod, and they're bringing in these different idols, heathen idols from the Amazon to have them in the churches and so forth and so on, and incorporate them in Catholic worship and everything else. That is totally wrong, folks. It's totally wrong even if it wasn't the Catholic Church. It's totally wrong in the Episcopal Church. It's totally wrong in the Protestant Church of any kind or any church in general, because it all goes against Scripture. So when we're talking like this and we're talking about this kind of obedience to the Lord and this kind of sovereignty of God and recognizing his sovereignty, that describes us as radicals. Did you know that I'm a radical? Now, am I a radical in a lot of areas? No, I'm not radical at all. But in obedience to God, I hope that somebody will say he is radically obedient to God. He's a radical for God. He's a radical for Christ, or any derivation of that phrase. Radical obedience to God. Does the Lord approve of radical obedience to God? Or does he approve of lukewarmness to God? And the answer to that question is not my opinion. The answer to that question is found in Revelation in chapter 3, that the Lord says, if you do not, if you're not hot or if you're not cold, you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So the answer is, the Lord is looking for radically obedient people. Not radically obedient to the government of the U.S., or not radically obedient to any the UN, radically obedient to God himself. And of course, in that situation, we can honestly say, then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said it to me, where is the Lord your God? Have we had that said to us before? I've had it said to me many times, just like Job. When his wife came to him and said, okay, where is this God you're talking about? And people said that to me. Okay, where is your God? You had your guts ripped out of you in a surgery. You had a surgery that went bad and caused all kind of problems. Where's your God? I thought he protected you. I thought he healed you. Why'd you have to go through all that? To which I have to answer. It makes me really radical. No matter what, I trust him. And some of those that have said those things have been brought to shame as they have seen the fact that though I was down, the Lord raised me back up. I've even had that said by people who shocked me that they were the ones that said it later, that they observed that. A day for the building of your walls. In that day, the boundary shall be far extended. In that day, they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, and from Egypt to the river, from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. But the earth will be desolate because of its inhabitants, for the fruit of their deeds. That means God is a God of judgment. But of course, we also know that not only is he a God of judgment, but he makes a choice. Because what he really prefers, who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions? And for the remnant of his inheritance, he does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in steadfast love. So the righteous judge, God Almighty, though he passes judgment, he also is desiring to pass over those transgressions. And though he does get angry, yes, God gets angry. But he doesn't get angry out of ridiculousness or anything else. But what is his delight? His delight is in steadfast love, and his anger isn't forever. Because if he stayed angry forever, all of us would be crispy critters. But the sovereignty of God and radical obedience to him. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. I read that and say, okay, I'm not Jewish. Jacob is not my father. Abraham is not my father. So when we say, as you have sworn to our fathers, that's basically saying, as God has sworn to his people, as God has sworn to those leaders of old, he still keeps that oath and has sworn that oath, and he doesn't break his oath. We do, he doesn't. That's the sovereignty of God. And a radical obedience to God is not out of order at all. It is the right order. And we should be doing it. And we should be those people. I want to be, and I hope you do too. Let's pray. We learned so much from you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray for myself and all those listening to the sound of my voice today, wherever they may be, here and in far places, whatever, that their desire is to be radically obedient to you, recognizing that your sovereignty will not be broken by an act of Congress or an act of the United Nations or any other country on earth will not break your sovereignty. You are sovereign God over this earth and all it contains and the heavens and everything, because you are the one that created it all. It all belongs to you. And even as we belong to you, even the people that say they don't belong to you and don't know they belong to you, they are there under your sovereignty. We pray that people will recognize that and yield to your sovereignty and be glad to be known as radicals for God, radically sold out, radically given, radical obedience to God. Help us, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.